young fella just came in. He's a, well, I don't know a lot about him because he was a last-minute addition to the show, but his bio says he is a funny comedian.
Yes.
His bio says Dan knows the capitals of every U.S. state.
That is,
except North Dakota.
True.
But who cares about North Dakota?
No one.
It also says Dan Googles I Love Dan Levy's Comedy at least twice a day.
Yeah, I got to that. I actually did it while we were getting ready to get on air now.
Welcome. May I ask how old you are?
I am 27.
27.
Yeah.
Young guy coming up through the ranks. You've performed in every United States but Hawaii and Alaska.
Yes. So if there's any bookers out there from Hawaii or Alaska, let's make this happen. Come on. I want to go to Hawaii. I actually got an email like last week from some girl who goes like Maui Community College, and she's like, hey, will you come perform my school? And I was like, cool, yeah, I want to go to Maui. Is it fun? She's like, kinda. Do you do drugs? I was like, what? What's happening here? No.
Oh, it's kinda if you do drugs.
Yeah,
with her.
Yeah, exactly.
Is this like a MySpace thing where people are finding you online and inviting you to their places?
Yeah, exactly.
Increasingly, entertainers build up a fan base online, and then people want to bring you to their city.
Exactly. It's kind of a cool situation, except MySpace now has so many ads that it just freezes. Half the time you try to like, say hi to someone, your computer dies.
Now, your bio says you have a girlfriend.
Yes.
But Pedro interviewed you and said you got a new girlfriend. So what happened there?
Well, I don't know what Pedro was talking about, because I said, oh, I have a girlfriend. He goes, oh, you have a new girlfriend? I was like, well, I mean, not really, but I'm going to go with it because it's really early. And I don't feel like correcting you.
Pedro just likes to see other men in trouble. And
yeah,
now
yeah.
You are among
his
ranks.
So in case she's listening to the podcast, you have the same girlfriend.
I have the same girlfriend.
What's new? I have the same girlfriend.
I have this new same girlfriend. She's cool. I just always have a girlfriend. I'm like, a lot of my friends are scared to commit. All I do is commit. Constantly committing. Like, I've never made love to a hooker, but I guarantee that when I do the next morning, I'd be like, hey, hooker. Want to get brunch and talk about our feelings? I wrote you a poem on the condom that we should have used. Let's call my mom. I love you.
That's nice. So you're by nature monogamous.
Yeah, I guess so.
But you've had, is this the same girlfriend since 14, or have you had several?
No. I've had a bunch of girlfriends, but I guess this one I've had for a while, like 3 years.
3 years is a long time.
I know. Yeah.
I have two questions, if
okay.
I may.
Go.
You have never made love to a hooker.
No.
I like starting out with something I already know, like a
okay.
lawyer. And do you like bondage?
Sure.
Damn it. I have to say no there. That'd make you a ropeless homantic.
Okay. What are you talking
Spike
about?
Spike was writing a joke and you didn't cooperate.
Sorry.
When you look at me and I say, do you like bondage? Man, most people would say no. Because
yeah.
I'm like looking at you like, wow, what a biscuit.
But he's a young comedian and he's like, I'll go for that. What is it?
Yeah. I'm like, what's happening here?
Tell me about your girlfriend. What's her name?
Her name is Rachel.
Rachel?
Yeah,
is she roughly your age?
Yeah, she's my age.
Yeah. And now you traveled 48 states.
Yes.
Where does she sit and wait for you and pine for you?
She pines for me and just sits there where I'm gone, just cries all day, writes in her diary in California. I live in L.A., so she lives in L.A.
You've done wait a minute, Boston to L.A. already?
Yeah, well, started off in Connecticut with all the white people and whiter people.
I'm from Connecticut. Where?
I'm from Stanford.
Brantford.
Oh, heard of it.
Yeah.
I'm from Hanford. He's from Manford.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that where bondage is big?
King.
So, all right, started Connecticut, went to school at Emerson in Boston. What'd you take at Emerson?
Lots of ecstasy.
That's how you get through a busy day.
Yeah, exactly.
But for classes.
Oh, communications.
Communications.
Basically.
And you actually interned at a radio station for a while.
VCN, got yelled at by a big black DJ guy. Isn't that cool?
We could do that with a white guy if you like. And then you, when the comedy started happening, did it happen for you in the Boston clubs?
Yeah, I started, like, I was a sophomore, and that's when I really kind of took off. I went to the Aspen Comedy Festival when I was, like, 20. And then since then, it's kind of been, I started touring at the end of my college. I was a senior. And then I moved to L.A. like 9 months after.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. And so did you find your girlfriend in L.A.?
Yeah.
Did you import her to L.A. or did you go to L.A. and pick her out of a crowd?
Well, I went on a website in L.A. and I bought her. So it was a pretty good situation.
Attaboy.
I'm a controlling guy. It's way easier to control women when you own them. Just a little FYI to everyone out there.
That is good to know.
When you physically buy them off of a website called eBay, it works out.
I read you did something for Sony Pictures, my long-distance relationship that you're creating. Is that about your girlfriend, or is that about...
It was about my girlfriend in college. Like I've said, I've had a lot of girlfriends. I had a girlfriend in college. I was in Boston. She was in Rhode Island, and that did not work out. And that's like, you know, like a 45-minute... walk, basically, and didn't work out. So I created this web series called My Longest Relationship about a guy who's living in Oregon and she's living in South Florida, and they try to make things work. Because when you're in a longest relationship, you're always just so jealous. Yeah. And I remember, like, whenever I'd be, like, talking to my girlfriend, you know, she'd be like, oh, you know, I miss you. She'd be like, oh, I miss you. Oh, hi, Steve. I'm like, who's Steve? Tell me who Steve is. I will kill Steve. She's like, he's my gay RA. I'm like, I don't care.
And they're all gay.
They're always
every
gay.
Every guy she knows is gay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. When we have sex, it doesn't count because he's gay. I'm going to kill myself. So, yeah, there's a nice little web series based off that situation.
And you're on collegehumor.com.
Yeah.
Peter tells me you're getting a tooth implant. Is that a cap? Is it a what's a tooth implant?
Pedro is the best interviewer ever in the history of
pre-interviewing.
Yeah, pre-interviewing. He's like, don't go anywhere. I need a pre-interview. We're like, okay, won't go anywhere. He comes over. He's like, so how's your new girlfriend? Okay, go on the air. Like, what talking about, Pedro? But
Is it a veneer you're getting? Because that's what I had one of those.
No, I had the worst situation. I had these two teeth. We're at a bad dentist. I went to this dentist in L.A. who was the worst. Every time I'd go in, he'd, like, pitch me a reality show, and I knew that was a bad idea. I'm not even kidding. Like, I'd be there, and, you know, right before I go in, he goes, come on in, you know, let's talk about stuff. And I'm thinking he's talking about my teeth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he closes the door. He takes out my folder, and he's like, okay, 8 dentists live in a house, all right?
Yeah.
And I have to go along with his terrible idea because he's about to drill my face, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
So I'm like,
didn't
yeah.
like the dentist.
I'm like, yeah, tell me more. What happens? He's like, once a week, they get kicked out, okay? The show's called 2:30. Get it? Like, you're 2:30? I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, but don't kick him out. He's extracted.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. You're extracted.
Yeah.
So this guy, the worst, okay? So then... He messes up my mouth so bad, I need to get two tooth implants. And he tells me, he's like, okay, so you need two tooth implants. I'm like, okay. He's like, it's going to be $4,000 a tooth. I was like, what am I, Lil Wayne? $4,000 a tooth? I was like, you know what, doctor? You know, for $3,000, I'm just going to get breast implants, okay? Because then no one knows the holes in my face.
Nice.
And someone else will pay for my tooth implants.
Right on. Yeah.
But it would be weird, you know, probably, you know.
To be a guy with breast implants, yeah.
Yeah, people come over to me, hey, Dan, I don't want to say anything, but you have boobies? What is going on? Like, I'm going through some dental problems. I can't talk about it right now. I'm working through some stuff.
Being in L.A., now, is it all about, like, being seen by the Tonight Show and all of that? You haven't done the Tonight Show?
I haven't done the Tonight Show. I just had a Comedy Central Presents that came out
last
Friday.
Comedy Central. Nice. And then it's because you want to get on TV. That's why you moved to L.A., right?
Of course, yeah.
Do they come out and see you and give you some critiques?
Yeah, I mean, they'll you know, you do showcases for these people. Right. You know, it's, like, hilarious. Like, you go out, you do, like, 4 men's, and then they sit with you. They're like, oh, this wasn't working, this wasn't funny. It's like, okay, thank you.
Thank you.
You ruined my night.
But you have met some famous people.
Yeah. No, I've met, you know, random celebrities. The funniest thing that happened to me is I was, like, at the gym one time, and in walks Justin Timberlake. And I was like, OMG. And I never say that, you know, but when you see Justin Timberlake, it's the only thing that comes out of your face, honestly. And he took off his shirt. It was really weird. He literally
took off, in a public workout place.
Yeah,
he
took off his shirt, and I was like, wow, this is like every 15-year-old girl's fantasy. And mine, apparently, at that moment.
Clearly.
He's incredible looking. But I was like, I gotta say something to Justin Timberlake, but what do you say to, like, an international pop superstar, you know? But I love sneakers, so I was like, I'll say something about his sneakers. So I just walked right over to him. I was like, yo, Justin! He was like, what's up? I was like, Justin, I really like your sneakers. And then Justin Timberlake looks at me, and he goes, oh, dog, they're my whatever shoes.
Like that.
Yeah. And in my head, I'm like, did Justin Timberlake just say whatever shoes? But the only thing I could say back to him for whatever reason, I was just like, whatever, whatever. And I started, like, dancing out of the gym, so he knew I had some credibility. And then about, like, 2 weeks later, I was walking down the street, and some 16-year-old kid comes over to me. He's like, yo, man, I like those sneakers. I'm like, oh, for real? They're my whatever, whatever shoes. And this kid looks at me, he's like, you're a bitch. So,
doesn't work for everybody.
Don't listen to Justin Timberlake.
Now, we made a remark when you arrived that for a young comic showing up at this hour of the morning, you looked clean cut, sober, which doesn't always happen.
Also not true.
That doesn't always happen, or right now?
Right now, I'm very dirty and very drunk, but continue.
No, then you... And you're going to go to some bondage house after this.
Exactly,
I'm
sorry about that.
But I do get the sense you're very clean cut and that you would never do any like of the kind of things that can really ruin your career in L.A. or sometimes make you famous because the tabloids follow you around for it.
Oh, so you're talking about...
Hard drugs.
Hard drugs.
Yeah.
Let's get to it. No, I would never do crystal meth. And you guys aren't doing crystal meth because everyone...
We look tired.
No, yeah, because everyone doing crystal meth is home cleaning their apartment again and brushing their tooth. They're busy right now. I would never do this. There's never like a happy ending, you know? It's never like, dude, I was doing crystal meth. Now I'm a billionaire. Things are going great. It's always like, dude, I was doing crystal meth and I sold my knee. What? Yes, bending is annoying. Now can I have sex with you for $20? Okay, fine. But I got to do it standing up.
Wow, that was a move. That was a mini movie in itself.
It really great. Is. It really is.
Very cool.
Hey, thank you guys so much. And
I'm going to say we knew you went.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah. When he hadn't even been to Hawaii or Alaska.
Exactly.
And he still had both his knees.
Yeah, both my knees.
Dan Levy. We'll put it on the website, bobrivers.com.
Awesome.
Downtown Joe had a lifelong wish fulfilled. Downtown Joe had said on the air that he would love to see what it feels like to fly. All right, I'll do it. To fly in a corporate jet. I should have a tie on to do this, per our last comedian, right? And Joe said that he'd like to do it for a good cause,
right?
Not to just burn up fuel. And as it turns out, the good folks at Clay Lacy Aviation down at Boeing Field heard the call and invited some members of the show, myself, Joe, and Eric, come and ride on a beautiful charitable event they do, and I think this may be their first one. It was very generous of them. It was also a wish of Nick, a patient at Children's Hospital, to fly and see Mount Rainier. So us, along with Nick and his brother, yesterday were invited to be loaded into a Lear jet for this scenic trip. Now, I expected a scenic trip. I expected, we would take off. Much like in a jetliner, we would sort of cruise around Mount Rainier, maybe a couple times, see the city from the sky, and come back. Got a lot more than that.
Oh, yeah. It's what we got, I'll never forget for the rest of my life. For one thing, we flew around Mount Rainier close enough to see not just the trees, but the people. I mean, there were...
Were there hikers on Mount Rainier, or were those little tree stumps?
No, there were hikers. There was a base camp there, and there were some hikers that Dan pointed out from Clay Lacy, and they were right there two-thirds of the way up the mountain.
Was Camp Muir?
Is that the main base camp?
The Camp Muir, the saddle between Tahoma and Rainier.
Well, we probably made them nervous.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what he says. He goes, I'm a
you goddamn sons back off!
What we're doing.
Well, and as you know, I'm a pilot, and I was very excited to go. It's a big thrill for me. I've had the luxury of taking the Blue Angels Meteor Ride, which is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I will tell you, Joe, that this ride was probably just as good. Not as many G's, not as much vomit, but the maneuvers these guys did. These guys didn't just take the Learjet out.
You're sitting.
They took the Learjet for a sport car ride.
It's
It's a twin-engine jet, not too much bigger than my minivan. I mean, it was bigger, but it's not like a huge plane. This was made to go out there and do what you want to do. It's a sports car of the sky.
Our Lear 35 pilot, Ian. Our co-pilot, John. I just called them both Sully. I just figured it was good. Yeah, it was a good idea.
Smart thinking.
They knew their stuff, no doubt about it.
And, you know, our passenger of honor, Nick, 11 years old. Eric Corman documented the whole thing.
I did, and I need to point out, first of all the maneuvers we did, FAA approved.
Oh, yeah, we had clearance. It was like 2,000 feet or something. Was as close?
Well, no, that's on the takeoff jump. Yes, it was all, oh, it was wonderful, and FAA approved and safe and all of that, but... If you've never, you know how fast a Learjet goes?
Mm-mm.
About 500 miles an hour.
That's faster than any commercial flight I've ever been on, right?
No, that's about right.
Is that about right?
450 knots, okay. Is roughly 500 miles an hour.
Okay.
These things, they can do things that no ordinary plane can do. It's not quite an F-16, but it's pretty impressive, pretty amazing. The climb, so. I wanted to sit and look at the pilots as we approached Mount Rainier. I will confess that I was a bit nervous, and I talked to them about this afterwards, because all of my experience is in a little Cessna, and a Cessna has a rate of climb that approaches about 1,500 feet a minute, depending on how hot the day is. It could be less. As we took off and shot into the sky when they got clearance to climb above 2,000 feet. We shot from 2,000 feet to about 12,000 feet in seconds.
Pretty much blast off?
It was blast off. And it felt like seconds. It was probably 120 seconds. It was our rate of climb was approaching 5,000 feet a minute. Listen in.
Here we go.
All right, here we go.
All right, Eric was facing back because some of the seats, they usually have business meetings.
You have a conference up there.
Yeah.
How many luxury seats are on board here?
There were like six luxury seats, right?
And there was also a couple of bench seats, so I think it was eight passengers and two crew.
Right.
And is the cockpit open?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh.
And that's where my head was buried in between the shoulders of the two pilots. And I was like, you guys don't mind,
like,
do you?
Doing this to you?
No, they were like, we're used to this. Go ahead, look. And I asked a few questions, but I didn't want to I'll tell you why I didn't want to interfere with them, because...
You can crash?
Well, no, these guys are... these guys are Top Gun. These are Jedi masters.
In fact, they film stuff for Top Gun. This is the company that goes up and does the aerial photography... Four movies like that. They're based in California.
I am used to about a 1,500 foot per minute rate of climb, mm-hmm. and I'm used to the limitations of a Cessna. So these guys, and it was a gorgeous day, no wind to speak of. These guys head straight for Rainier. And when I say straight for Rainier, it was like some of the people in the plane were going, we should be turning soon. Because when you're looking out and all you see is snow,
ooh.
And we're still going straight at the mountain. Oh. And I'm going,
Who wants goat for lunch?
And then I realized that what they were going to do was a nice maneuver off the side of Rainier. And so at sort of the last minute, you do a bank.
Peel away and...
Well, 60-degree bank, which is quite safe and a very legitimate maneuver. However, your typical airline pilot does not do it. And that's what we experienced, was a lot of things that you would never get, even though you can go 500 miles an hour on your way to Orlando for Disney World. And even though these Boeing planes will do a lot of that stuff, they don't have enough air sickness bags on board. So we passed. How close do you think we were to the mountain?
I took pictures, and it was, I mean, it looked like you could get out and walk almost. I mean, it was plenty close that I wanted to be.
If you were D.B. Cooper, you could drop some money there and you would find it later.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could see literally people. I mean, you could see ski tracks. And I don't know what kind of crazy guys ski down Mount Rainier, but we saw some ski tracks down towards the bottom.
Now, as a private pilot, I'm very respectful of mountains. Because
they're harder than clouds.
They're harder than clouds.
Sure are, yeah.
No, also because the wind can do funny things around mountains.
Yeah, I've heard that.
This happened to be a spectacular day, but I was still I was nervous. Joe was just sitting there going, "You're feeding me. I'm fine." were not nervous at all.
Well, my buddy Nick sitting right next to me, here's an 11-year-old kid, and he's just like, "Let's do more." I mean, if I didn't want to admit to him I was nervous. This guy is ready to go up there and do maneuvers and stuff. He was reassuring for me.
So we begin circling, and we circled just closer to Mount Rainier. I mean, let's put it this way. Joe, you're probably never going to climb Mount Rainier, right? You know, it's not on your, like, bucket list.
I can tell you exactly what it looks like at the top now. And
don't have to.
I don't think I'll be up there.
Boy,
I got a nice picture, you know. I'll just Photoshop me on there or something. I got a beautiful picture of the sun.
Here's my head and
that's
a really
bad person's
body.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. We'd be like, Joe has summited Mount Rainier, and he's done his Blue Angels flight from a Barca lounger.
Smooth.
It was fantastic. Let's see. What do you have, Eric? What do you want to play? You have a couple of clips?
I do. And it all depends on whether we want to go right to the in-flight audio or if we want to talk about some of the briefings and your questions to the pilot or if we want to talk
Let me talk to the pilot and then we want to meet Nick, the guest of honor. I guess we're asking the pilot some questions.
This is Lear 35 today. In the event of emergency, we have two emergency exits. We have one over wing. It's going to be pulled down on the handle. The window is going to come in, exit out the window. The preferred exit is forward here. Raise the red handle to the 12 o'clock position, push out. In the event of a loss of cabin pressure, mask drop, just like the airlines, pull the mask down, put it over your face. Seat belts, we ask that you keep your seat belts fastened at all times. We have briefing cards over here on the side ledges that go into a little greater detail. Any questions?
Are we the poorest people you've ever flown?
No.
No?
Awesome. Well, I flew a dead body once. Does that count?
Well, he couldn't take it with him, so I'm sure he was rich when he was here. Well, we are very excited. We're going to take Nick for a little tour of Mount Rainier. Let's go.
All right.
Good question.
Okay, and here's Joe with the food. You have to play Joe with the food.
What we got here? We got nuts. Boy, this is stylish nuts here. These aren't peanuts. They're like cashews and pistachios. This is corporate travel at its best.
That what you're having, Joe?
Yeah, I think so. The jelly beans look good.
All right. The jelly beans look good. Joe, you're in a... How much would that Lear 35 cost?
Oh, God.
Many millions.
Tens of millions.
And that was just the finger food.
The jelly beans look good.
Well, they did.
Can we get close enough to space so they can float in the air and I could pursue them with my mouth?
They fed us a great lunch when we got down.
Yeah,
we
didn't, gourmet chef on staff there.
Yeah.
Is this interior similar to the one you flew in?
Yes.
I've got a website up of one of these puppies for
sale. So let me tell you a little more about the flight, we did. We got up close to Mount Rainier. Nick and his brother had the most wonderful, Zach was his 19-year-old brother, the most wonderful close-up view of Mount Rainier that almost nobody will ever see. We went around Mount Rainier, felt like three or four times, right?
At least.
And when I say around, I mean stuff like you see in the movies, where you're coming up on a snow-covered ridge and you just clear the top of it. And then you descend right after that and you head into the valley. And your lunch stays up on that ridge.
Was there any of that? Not much.
Not till near the very end.
Really?
And after going around Mount Rainier a bunch of times, he even switched around and went back the other way so people on the other side, which is kind of silly because it's a corporate jet. You know, you can look out either side. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're crammed like sardines. But after the Rainier thing, which again, I'm being a little Cessna pilot, I'm like, okay, whoa. And I thought, this is embarrassing. I shouldn't be nervous. I've been in a Blue Angel, but it was just to be in
From where you came from, didn't you used to have like a phobia?
I used to be very, you remember.
Oh, yeah.
I think I became a pilot as you were leaving.
Before. Yeah.
Just before? Okay. So, anyway, but I was like, I'm cool. And then the pilot leaned back and looked at me and said, and this is Captain Ian, he said, well, I think we're going to start heading back, but how do you guys feel about maneuvers? Maybe some steep descents, some flying through valleys. And here I am, and I'm just saying to myself, whew, thank God all that flying close
thank
to the
God
mountain
I'm
is over.
That's over. Nick's going, yeah!
Yeah, Nick is like, well, but no, you will have to have your penis removed if you don't
right.
turn to the pilot and say, absolutely, sir, absolutely. And then I trust these guys thoroughly, completely. And they are, as I mentioned.
But Nick was calling all the shots.
Yeah.
Right?
Captain Skywalker turned at me.
It's like bagging wombats. What? No, no.
So what happened next was a very indirect route into the mountains. Into what was, what do they call that thing that Luke Skywalker flies?
An X-Wing.
It felt like we were in a Star Wars X-Wing for a while?
We went from having one big mountain on one side to having mountains on both sides. You look out either window.
R2, lock down that stabilizer.
Yeah.
Well, was I not supposed to eat that? I'm sorry.
Hey, Wookie. Is that about right, Eric?
Oh, my God. I felt like I was in, what was that, Beggar's Canyon they called it in
Beggar's
Star Wars?
Beggar's Canyon, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Well done.
And that pressure that goes on your head, I've never quite felt that.
It's called G's, Joe.
Yeah, I've never.
G's, that hurts. They call it that.
It didn't hurt. It was kind of cool.
And it was great. I had to look out the cockpit, because as long as I see the horizon, moving though it is, as we do these 60-degree banks and climb and descend at fairly steep rates, I'm realizing these guys are giving this kid the ride of a lifetime. Oh. And we are so lucky to be along. And the pilot said, any requests? I said, well, I live near Mount Si, but that's probably too far away. And forget that we're going 500 miles an hour.
We got 45 seconds to get there. No problem. An extra 45 seconds right
now. But he didn't respond when I said that. He didn't say anything. And we just kept basically weaving through these canyons, snow-capped glaciers, you know, big ridges, and we would come whoosh, and clear the top of the ridge. And
that's all FAA approved, all that?
Oh, yeah, it's all good stuff.
Yeah, in fact, when I did my Air Combat USA dogfighting in a Marchetti fighter plane, that's where I was.
So as you're at the right altitude, it's, you know, you can do what you want.
So next thing I know, we kind of like turn sideways next to a ridge and come out in North Bend. And there's Mount Si. And I thought, oh, how nice. How so nice of Ian and John and Dan, you know, whiz by my house. That's very nice. And I thought at that point we were going to turn left and just go back to Boeing Field.
Mm-hmm.
No, Skywalker, we are heading straight up the valley towards the Russian Buttes.
Nice.
Straight up the Middle Fork. Back into, you know, deep mountains and glaciers, and it was just a gorgeous day.
And
the end, we're like, right over the haystack on Mount Si and back to Boeing Field. And actually, I don't know if that would have been the end, but Nick had.
Oh, really?
A good, yes, and what a trooper, I must say.
Except in the Blue Angels, you went straight up, though.
This is a pretty good way to climb, though. I'll take a look and see if I can see.
Take it down.
4,500 feet per minute. Compare that to a typical small plane that can climb at 500 to 1,500 feet per minute.
Wow.
Super fast.
Super fast. Stuff that we mentioned. So, to the folks at Clay Lacy, who did a wonderful thing for a young boy who's been through a lot, and his brother, great job. To our pilots, Ian and John, Top Gun, Skywalker, Jedi Masters, Dan from Clay Lacy, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful guy. And then there was Christina, Nick and Zach's mom, Kathy, who does charter sales and marketing for Clay Lacy, and Eve, now she was with Seattle Children's Hospital, right? And the photographer, a guy named Long?
Long Nguyen.
Yeah.
Long Wind?
He was short-winded. Took some great pictures. Clay Lacy Aviation.
That sounds awesome.
A wonderful ride for a little kid. And Nick, too. Joe was the little kid.
Yeah. No. No, Nick was the trooper. That's right.
Did you call your wife when you landed and say, yeah, it went great?
Oh, I sure did. And she was, you know, happy to have me back on the ground. Told her I took the pictures home, showed her the video. And it's a wonderful, wonderful experience.
And I've got one more clip that I've got to play. Joe, this is you enjoying yourself.
There are some V's.
Feel that, huh?
My head got very heavy. How are you holding up, Nick? Excellent.
You guys all right?
So this was a fighter jet, right? Right, Julie?
Yeah, Swiss fighter jet.
So we could do some, like, barrel rolls.
I don't know about that. Baba.
Joining us in the studio this morning are the men who bring good and evil to life in a stage extravaganza. People from the ages of 6 to 60 are thrilled by this. Dion Randolph plays Mufasa, and Timothy Carter is Scar in the smash musical The Lion King. Dion Randolph and Timothy Carter, welcome to the Bob Rivers Show. Hello.
Hello, thank you.
Good morning.
Wow. The Lion King. Now, they said this could never be brought to the stage, that it was the most amazing animated film, and that every kid had seen it at least 500 times, so how could you possibly pull it off on stage? How did you guys do it? Well, it was all you, by the way. It was you guys that did everything, right?
Yeah, we did it all. That's it. I remember the beginning of the creation of the show. Michael Eisner brought it to the attention of the board of directors that he wanted to do the show on stage, and no one thought it could be done. At that time, Disney Theatrical was very new, and Thomas Schumacher, the president of Disney Theatrical, said there's only one director he could think of that could pull it off, and that was Julie Taymor. And I remember I spoke to her in D.C., and she said when they told her that, she was ecstatic. She couldn't wait to get on board with it, and every challenge she thought would be a beautiful moment on stage, and we can see the result of that now.
It's Dion. You're Mufasa.
Mufasa.
Right? And Scar, Timothy Carter. When you guys get hired to do something like this, is it like any other showbiz process? You go through auditions and you come in and roar or do whatever you have to do. Tell me for you what it was like to audition for this gig and what they made you, you know, go through and how you get hired.
Well, it was an interesting story for me because my background is in Shakespeare and the classics. I've never done a musical before. And I had just signed with a new agent. I'm a New York-based actor. And when I was at the meeting signing the contract with him, he said to me, "You need to play Scar in The Lion King." And I said, "Okay, I'll work on my singing maybe in a couple of years." And within a few weeks, he had an audition for me, and I didn't want to go.
You didn't feel you were adequately prepared?
Well, the level of competition in musical theater in New York is incredibly high, and I never thought I could book the job. And this was a smart agent. I've got a smart agent. He said, "Just try." And I went in and booked it in a single audition. That's not the usual way. Usually, they have what are called callbacks, and they want to see you multiple times, but he knew, and they knew, that I was very right for the part.
Well, you guys knock it out of the park, because I live with the Lion King expert. My daughter Emily is not the movie, but the play. She is a huge fan. She knows all the cast of Broadway. We've been to Broadway. We've seen the play. We saw you guys last Friday night, and I asked Emily, "What did you think?" She says, "It's like Broadway, except the actors here were a lot better, Dad." I mean, she really thought you guys did great.
Wow, thank you.
I got to say, it's not something that just stays on a stage either. I'm a big fan of, you know, concerts and this thing.
Joe's got your mask in his living room, and he and his wife, I guess, role play with some of these.
We got the coffee table book the whole bit. But
are you prepared? I'm prepared.
This thing goes beyond a stage play. You're in the whole theater gets used. I mean, it's a pretty intense experience if you haven't seen it.
Now, your Shakespeare experience, does that contribute to the villainous Scar character? I mean,
sure.
I haven't seen it yet, but would you mind just a couple of lines just to give me a feel for it?
Sure. The opening lines are, "Life's not fair, is it? You see, I shall never be king.
And you?
You shall never see another day.
Adieu.
Yeah. He is a nasty, nasty man.
Well, is this... I'm a fan of Shakespeare, but I'm by no means an expert. It's Hamlet. It's The Lion King, essentially, the story of Hamlet.
Some people have compared it with, my character with Claudius in Hamlet, with Iago and Othello.
Right.
There are various characters in Shakespeare. The Disney folks sometimes refer to Scar as their Shakespearean villain. And so it kind of makes sense that all of the actors who have played this, almost all of the actors who played this part, have a Shakespeare, a background in Shakespeare. My predecessor did, I do. Derek Smith, who's currently playing the part on Broadway, has the same background.
Right.
So they tend to get a certain kind of actor for them.
Now, I gotta ask, I don't know how well you guys get to know all, I'm over here, in here.
She's the lady next to the gong.
You get to know all of the dancers in the crew, but there's a young woman who I know and have known since she was a baby. Her name is Cara Cooley, and she had been playing Bombalorina. Do you all know her? Her
Cara
mother.
Cooley.
Cara Cooley. She's a Washington girl, grew up and went to New York and
I don't think the big
role.
Lions
guess,
actually
guess
talk to the dancers.
I guess you guys
dancers.
Don't know her then.
They do not make eye contact with Mufasa.
Okay. I just thought I'd ask.
Oh, no. There are a lot of companies. There are seven running companies now.
Seven right now?
Yes. Oh, okay.
Wow. Seven companies.
Well, that makes sense then. I thought. I know she was part of one of the road companies.
Right, which could have been the West Coast Tour.
Okay. Now, we're seeing you guys from Broadway, right?
I
don't even want to ask because it's all the same thing, right?
Well, there are a lot of folks in our company who have been in the Broadway company as well. Okay. We tend to trade back and forth. Broadway sometimes gets our people, and then people from there sometimes join
us. And are there understudies that travel with you, the main lead characters that occasionally poison your food or wipe your doorknob with their snot to make sure if they get you sick and hopefully get a shot?
My understudies make sure I stay healthy. That's their thing. We don't want to go on.
If you're the understudy, it's like that's you're hoping that the guy gets the flu, right?
Right.
I would think.
But interesting. Like I said, believe it or not, this show is very physically demanding, especially for my character and, of course, Scar. I remember at my audition, that's one of the things they ask is that you be very physically fit. Okay, I was odd. Why? Well, you'll be flying off of cliffs. You've got to climb the rock. You've got to carry the cub. There are a lot of physical things. So my understudies make fun of that all the time. You know, anytime they go on, they're hurting.
Now, have you ever, fallen off of Pride Rock or had your head fall off or something that going really wrong like
both.
That? Both, huh?
Well, no, we were actually just talking about that earlier. Our rock is automated, computer-controlled. There have been times in theaters where someone working in the theater, not knowing that the show is happening or in a different area of the theater, will turn a microwave oven on, and our rock will freeze. It'll stop or jerk. So we've had a couple of moments, but you always have to stay on that, you know, with the rock. So a couple of stumbles here and there, but nothing drastic. Of course, our masks fall off periodically. Yeah.
Well, recently we played, actually on the air, a rant by a woman who was very upset. Was it an opera singer? Someone was taking pictures during
Patty
her
show. Patty LuPone.
Patty LuPone. Did you hear about that?
Yes.
Yeah. And she, started dressing them down for taking pictures and stuff. Now, I imagine with The Lion King, no matter how tight they are on security, there's people out there, you know, snapping you with their cell phones and stuff. Did you... one of you ever consider just roaring out into the audience and grabbing them and dragging them on stage? That kind of thing.
It doesn't that doesn't upset me as much as you know, it's a family show. There are a lot of children,
right.
And it's not unusual for some incredibly loud crying child to just go on and on. And you think, you know, don't the parents know enough to take them outside? You know, because I feel bad for all the folks who've spent all that money on tickets,
right.
You know, it's their right to enjoy the show, and so I get upset on their behalf.
You
about
heartless
that.
Bastard! You were born to play Scar. You were born to play this role. You heartless! Why don't you just trot some wildebeest over the crying kid for the love of?
There we go. One of you, believe it or not, listen to their schooled actor voices. Would you know that one of these guys is from Georgia and one is from Kentucky? Have you guys had to unlearn your accents, your native accents, or did you never have them?
Wow.
And which one is from Georgia and which one's from Kentucky?
I'm from Georgia.
Oh, I got it.
No, it's very interesting after playing so many roles where I've never played in a show that is Southern based. So all of the shows, Little Shop of Horrors, I've done The Voice of Audrey 2, which is this Motown, Detroit esque singer. Once on This Island, Caribbean accent.
Audrey 2 in Little Shop of Horrors.
The part.
Oh, that's great.
So, and then of course, Once on This Island was Caribbean based, right. And then of course, this is all about regality and kingliness. So I think I've kind of lost my...
It's just gone. Like, what about your parents? You come home and they go, what has happened to my son?
Who are you? That's what they say.
Yeah, wow. And you?
And I'm from Kentucky, so but I don't have a trace of my accent. It's gone completely. All that actor training took it away.
The actor training. We went to truck and actor school.
You guys take Lion King to Chattanooga. Can you twang it up a little? So you know.
Be prepared.
Yeah.
You can do it.
That's got a nice ring to it.
Yeah. You're all weak.
Eric,
Dion, and Timothy, I've got to ask you, after watching the play, which was just amazing, I've got to say, you guys are playing these very kingly figures. When I walked out of there, I felt kind of like a king just by watching the two of you, the way you really strut around stage and act like you own the entire theater. How is it going back to real life when you're not a king anymore? Is that kind of weird to make that transition?
I'm always a king. I've been asked before, you know, what do I do to get into character? Are you Mufasa backstage? It's always been for me, Mufasa takes so much energy to bring to life that he only lives on stage. As soon as I go backstage, Timothy knows I am Dion Randolph. It takes a lot of power. The movement that Disney wants in the characters, the presence that you have to create with these two characters, it takes all of my energy. So backstage, I'm completely me and completely happy being me. But on stage, that's 100% Mufasa.
The giant lion heads, are they heavy?
Yes.
Look at the neck muscles on these two.
Yeah, look at them.
They're hanging out with A-Rod's cousin.
They are heavy, yeah. I imagine, first few times you did the show, were you like, oh, I don't know if I can do this?
Well, I can't speak for Dion, but Dion knows this because Dion used to cover the role of Scar, so he has played my role as an understudy, but the costume is beyond anything I've ever worn before. It's about a 50-pound mechanical costume. I wear machinery and battery packs on my thighs that are ingeniously covered by the costume, as well as a full head mount, a head helmet over which is worn a wig, and that's what supports the mask that I wear on top. And so it's kind of, at least in the beginning, when I was first playing the part, it was an ordeal. I've gotten used to it now, but it's still you contend with a lot.
Right.
You know, there's a long running show called Forbidden Broadway in New York that satirizes whatever is currently running on Broadway, and they used to have a Lion King number called Can You Feel the Pain Tonight? And it was all about how uncomfortable and hard to and painful the Lion King costumes are.
Dion Randolph, Timothy Carter, thank you very much, guys. A pleasure to meet you.
You as well.
You too.
Singer-songwriter Mandy Perkins is in the house again. She's going to join Spike to sing Behind Blue Eyes. Are we set? I think we're close. Let's bring up the audio and see if it works. Mandy, say hi.
Hi. How you doing, Bob?
Good.
No one knows what it's like to be the bad man, to be the sad man, behind blue eyes. And no one knows what it's like to be hated, to be faded, to telling only lies. But my dreams, they aren't as empty as my conscience seems to be. And I have hours only lonely. My love is vengeance. It's never free.
No one knows what the world is feeling. Thank you. Like I do. And I blame you. No one backs back his heart on their anger. None of my pain and woe can show through. But my dreams, they aren't as empty as my conscience seems to be. I have hours only lonely. My love is vengeance. Never free.
Except for I totally blew the sound on you. Okay. I'm so sorry.
Right, it's okay. You see how we work through it?
What, you want to pick up that line, though?
Sure, we'll do that again.
No, you just do that one line again with the sound right, and then I'll splice it in so that when we put it on the web. So what was that? That was when you came in.
No one knows what it's like
to feel
it.
Let's just pick that up just before.
You
no, seriously.
I want to.
I feel
you
terrible.
Like, you sounded like God.
No.
I kind of enjoyed it. It was like the word from.
No one knows what it's like.
That's the devil.
All right, but we have
measures before would be.
No one knows what it's like to feel his feelings. Like I do, and I blame you. No one. Okay,
that's it. We're done.
Thanks. I think we fixed that post.
All,
thanks very much.
We can edit
You're
that
so
in.
Sweet to come back.
Oh, I went. Oh, I'm so. You know, I enjoy setting this up, obviously. And I went.
I think you should have played keys. Next time I come, are you going to play keys?
I will learn some keys, and we'll do it next time.
You guys are phenomenal. I cannot tell you how good it felt just to be able to step in and join you guys for just a moment.
What do you mean? You're Spike,
you guys are
Spike
phenomenal. Yeah,
you're,
okay.
You're phenomenal.
The world's most glorified cover band.
Exactly. And you
if they could do their own songs, they would.
We don't
no,
do that.
You guys are phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
We got Pedro over here.
Thank you.
How are you doing over there on a little percussion?
Great,
yeah, he used those arms to row to America. That's why he's so good at what he does. Seriously.
Okay. So
he was carrying Luciano on his back.